I'll just give you all a very warm welcome to our Tuesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. It has a slight difference tonight in that we do have the Huddleston family with us. They're going to just give us a report on their trip to Romania. And Eliza's here, but she's not giving a report because she started school yesterday. And I heard that she was so excited about starting school yesterday she couldn't sleep the night before. How many people felt like that when they were going to school? And my father couldn't get me to bed. Wasn't excitement for school, that's for sure. But things have changed, and she's here to hear the report, and then I think she's slipping on to get to her bed so she can get up for school tomorrow. So we'll be thinking about you. And but it's lovely to see you all. We warmly welcome you in our Saviour's name. Also to those that are joining online with us, we trust the Lord will bless you and your family and encourage your heart in these very trying times. We're going to sing together the hymn 419. 419. We'll stand together as we worship. 419. We'll sing all of the hymn and not take us too long. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. Amen. That's good singing. It's a great hymn. I just have gone through it so quickly. But it's always good to think about the words. And sometimes I know it takes a little bit more time. But if we were just to go through each verse and just emphasize what the hymn writer meant, what they were implying, then I'm sure that the hymn would take on a greater significance. Let's just bow briefly in the place of prayer, please. Loving Father, it is with joy and thanksgiving and praise that we enter into thy holy presence. We thank thee once again for our Saviour. We praise thee for the one who came into this world, the one who suffered and bled and died, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. We thank thee that he offered one great sacrifice for sin forever. We thank thee that he finished the work. We rejoice that he paid the price in full. We lift our hearts, Lord, in thanksgiving in the knowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners. And he did so by dying as their substitute, by shedding his precious blood, by finishing the work of salvation. And thus he opened the way to heaven and to home, and he is now the giver of eternal life to all who have repented and believed on him. And loving Father, in his name, let thy presence now fill this very prayer room. God, grant that we'll be shut in with thyself, and from the youngest person to the oldest individual, may we be God conscious. May the Lord be with us. We pray, Lord, you'll be with Mark and the family as they report on their trip over to Romania. We thank thee, Lord, for being with them, for the measure of answered prayer that they experience. We thank thee for the work that they have been involved in, and the work of God across this province and nation and across this world. We thank thee for the many mission trips and those who are still labouring for thee, those who have returned again. And Lord, we just lift our hearts in thanksgiving. We think of the home front and the Bible clubs. We think of those meetings that are still going on and other Bible clubs that folks are involved in. We thank thee, O God, for our own Bible club last week, for the parents' night on Sunday evening, and for the boys and girls and young people that have been brought in, and more importantly, Lord, not just brought into the house, but under the sound of the glorious gospel of Christ. And what a privilege it is, Lord, whether on the mission field or on the home front, or even among our own family and friends and our work colleagues and neighbours, our school friends and others, Lord, just to communicate the gospel, just to share Christ with our fellow man, just to reach out, even, Lord, verbally or even by a practical way, to, Lord, just adorn the gospel and to, Lord, proclaim the glorious truth that Jesus saves. And we praise thee, Lord, even our lives become a sermon. Our lives become a message from God. Our lives become, as Paul said, living epistles, that we might be known and read of all men, and that we will have a life that bears testimony to the Saviour. Lord, we pray that you will make us lights in a dark place. Give to us, Lord, the fire of God in our soul. Give to us a radiance in our countenance, the joy of the Lord in our heart. And as Nehemiah penned in his book, Lord, the joy of the Lord is thy strength. So may even the ungodly see that without alcohol and drugs and without money or any other thing, there's a contentment within our souls. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And we ask, O God, you will make us godly, make us godlike and Christlike, and then we will know true contentment. We will have that settled and calm spirit. We'll not be agitated. We'll not be irritated. Lord, we'll not be individuals who have little or no time for others and see them only as a discomfort. We'll have love for our fellow man, and we'll have love for God. So bless us now, and be with us, we pray. And remember Mark and the family as they take part this evening. Encourage their hearts and bless us too. And we ask these things, giving thanks in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Well, we are delighted to have the Huddleston family on block with us here this evening. We have Mark and Luke and Rebecca and Rachel at the back, and Deborah and Eliza as well. So we're glad to have them all with us. I'm not sure of the format, but I'm sure Daddy will take control and he will lead us through this. So Mark, you're very welcome. Trust the Lord will bless you, brother. Thank you. Drop a water in there for you, neighbor.
Well, it's great to be here this evening to be able to give a report with Rachel and Luke here on the time we spent in Romania just a few weeks ago, and want to thank you all for your support and for your kindness and your prayers to us before and during the trip. Before we start, I just wanted to give a little background, and you'll understand why in a wee second here, and hopefully it'll all make sense then as we go from there. I get this right. Luke's then going to talk about our time with the Deborah girls at Deborah House and the work there, and then Rachel's going to talk about the time we spent in the mountains in Batia and Bazou and that region of Romania, and a bit about that, and then I'll just close. There's a few wee prayer points and a few things that have happened since the trip that we can update on. But as you remember, Deborah and Rachel and Luke went in 2022, and it certainly made a huge impact on them, and I think also on the whole family. So when the opportunity came from the Reverend Park and Hebron and the Ballymoney Church to go again, it wasn't hard to say yes to that opportunity. However, on the 29th of June, or a few weeks before that, Reverend Park contacted me and said, we're having a deputation meeting, a prayer meeting in Ballymoney. Would you speak at it with some of the others that are going? And Mr. Park, being really organised, also had the topic that I was to speak on, which is, why is your family going to Romania? So I thought, just before we show some of the slides and the video, I'd just maybe quickly recast over why we actually decided as a family to go and how the Lord prepared us to go. That day that we were going to speak in Ballymoney, Eliza was taking part in the school choir, singing some pieces at the end of term. And one of the pieces that she sang was "I Am a Small Part." And that's the essence of why we went to Romania, to be a small part of the Lord's work. And as we were thinking before we went, we said, well, whether we're young or old, whether we're great or small, whatever, or whoever we are, we have a part to play in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who gave himself freely and without any concern for himself, for us and for our sins, those who were worthless and had no worth in the sight of a holy God, because we were all sinners. But as Galatians 2 and 20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And isn't that true? Isn't that so true? And there, in the essence, we have the Christian work wrapped up, that we are Christ. He died, he was crucified for us. And as the hymn writer wrote, yet not I, but Christ through me. And that certainly, during the trip, became nearly a theme song. We sang that regularly on the buses as we went between different places. I don't know whether it was because of my driving that we're singing that, and as a prayer more than in hope, although in one occasion it was the bus in front, and Deborah and I nearly crashed. I nearly crashed the bus, and Deborah burst out laughing. Mr. Park hit a bump in the road going up to the Deborah house. Bus lifted off the road a bit, hit the second bump, and the bus was literally about 3 feet off the road, with Rachel and a few others in the bus in front, bouncing around as if they were in some sort of, you know, spacecraft with no gravity, so they were. But today the world is full of self. Social media drives that in many cases. It's now about living my best life. It's about what I can get for myself. And yet, as the verse said, we're called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his example and live for him. And look, we're not saying we're some example of perfection. This was one mission trip that we went on. But as Matthew 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. And so it was with that in mind that we thought of the Apostle Paul when he cried out on the road to Damascus in Acts 9:6, Lord, what will they have us to do? And just before we went to Romania, and just before I spoke in Ballymoney that Thursday night, small devotional reading from D.L. Moody was based on Mark 13 and 34, which said, to every man his work. And that was a confirmation for us to get out there and do the work of the Lord there in Romania. So that was just quickly the background to going out. The trip was 10 days. And we covered quite a bit of the breadth of Romania in the south, starting out in the I should have brought a pointer for like the school here. Over here in the west, in Timișoara, and just below that in Moldovanoa, which we'll talk about in a wee second. Oh, sorry, Moldovanoa down here. There's me getting it wrong already. And we commuted between there and Timișoara, and Timișoara is where the Deborah House is based. Then we flew over to Bucharest and then up to Bazou for the last part, which, as you can see, is over near the Black Sea and the Ukrainian border. So you're moving over to the southeast of the country there. And so it was in the early hours, 12 o'clock in the morning, we headed off from Ballymoney, really bright and breezy, as you can guess. And we arrived at Dublin Airport, what, about 4 o'clock in the morning? So we did. for a 6 a.m. flight on to Frankfurt and then on into Timisoara. As you can guess, the young ones were full of the joys, us older ones maybe not quite so much. And from there, our first stop, as we said, was Muldamanoa. A beautiful part of the world in many ways. You're on the sides of the river lake or the river Danube and at the widest point of the Danube in that. But there's two gypsy colonies that we were there to work with, the Romas, and it's safe to say I certainly have never seen living conditions in poverty like what we experienced over those few days there in Muldamanoa. But we had the opportunity to work with many kids. It was completely different to, say, our Holy Bible Club last week in that it was going back maybe 30, 40 years ago, which, you know, there was three minibuses and Reverend Park was driving one, Samuel Johnson, who's the youth leader up in Ballymoney, driving another, and I was driving the third. And we pulled up and it was literally just as many children as you could get into that bus as was physically possible. And it was just fill it and fill it and fill it until there was no space, as in literally no space. They were just sitting on top of each other. And then over to the church, to the Baptist church, where they had kindly given us the use of their church hall and their yard for the vocational Bible schools. But you can see, you maybe remember from last time, the living conditions are absolutely tragic. And this is home for one of the communities. You have multiple families living there. They have running water and running electricity, but that would be literally the height of luxury there for them. Beyond that, they have very, very little. And so the excitement of being able to go on a boat trip on the River Danube that was organised for them was something else. But the core of it was there. In the top corner was the Bible clubs. And you had a limited range of choruses, basically two, that you were able to sing because it was repeat words. So deep and wide, because it repeated. And then This Is the Day, or Acha Se, and I'm going to get laughed at for my pronunciation by my children again, because I always get that wrong. so it is. And we had the meetings, sometimes twice a day, sometimes once a day with them, just depending on how the day was organised and going and what time we were able to get lunch in for. Lunch was always a special occasion for the kids. We found out very quickly, those of us that hadn't been before, they love sparkling water in Romania, even the children, and they will drink sparkling water and sparkling water and more sparkling water. And they loved, and a packet of crisps, so you've never seen crisps disappear as fast alongside the other bits and pieces that we got for them. But they are a people who not only need practical support but need the Lord. There are many of them there who would profess faith in Christ, but sometimes there would be that concern amongst those that work with them that faith may be a false profession to get hope and support from the church. But as you can see there, you know, the living conditions are as rudimentary as you can have. So before we lay on this, in the second colony, this was the kitchen. Literally a stove there with the pipe heading out the window and the small heater and the little table there sitting beside it. And you can see the water that night before we'd had a big thunderstorm. And they had nothing to protect that particular colony, have nothing to protect them from the elements. It was horrendous, the conditions there. The smell, everything. Several of the young people were certainly feeling physically, if not were physically sick while we were there. But they open their homes to you. They want you to come. And we had the benefit of being able to go out and gather in supplies, simple basic supplies, bread, milk, oil, water, nappies. And then what we did was we went round the homes there, round the first colony. We did the same at the second colony. And we would take them the food, but before we gave them the food, we would bring a short word to them in the open air and just bring the word of the Lord before them and pray with them and explain why we were there and Pastor Claudio, you see the back of my bald head there, Pastor Claudio with us there, was with me, who's the local Baptist pastor, one of the assistant pastors, and he would share the word then through into Romanian for me, and we just spoke there, and those wonderful words from Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he brought it both to those that were saved and for those that were lost, trying to bring a word of encouragement to some of the homes, knowing that there was a mixed situation in the homes. Quite often it was the mother and the wife who had been saved, and the men, generally, who had always kept in the background and out of the way, who were often lost. So that was our time in Muldamanoa. Shortly after we left there, and we're in the second and third part of our trip, the grandmother, who was one of the sort of matriarchs of one of the larger families there, she passed away. And just before we had left Muldamanoa, Reverend Park had got dispensed. She's a saved lady, so she is. Got time to pray with her, and she'd said to him, "I think this is the last time we'll see each other here, David." And that turned out, he thought, "Well, no, I'll be back again." She's been sick before when I've been here, but she went home to be with the Lord on the Friday, I think, after we left there. Was that right? I think it was the Friday, nobody was there for the funeral, but Pastor Claudio and the folks there in the Baptist church led the funeral. But it was a time, the kids just love the company. They love the friendship. They love having an opportunity to come out of that environment that they're in, where they have literally nothing. And it creates a great opportunity. And the only thing I found, particularly in that part of the trip, was the language barrier was a real blocker. Yes, you can do the physical things of with them, but it's not like even there on a Tuesday night with a young child, or last week at the Holy Bible Club, where the young child's wanting to ask questions, you just don't know, because if you don't have somebody to translate with you, you're completely lost as to what they're actually looking for. The basic, I learned that water meant was ape, and that was sort of the limit of what I was getting to understand at that stage of the trip. So it was. So after that, we headed up to Timișoara, and Luke, you're going to take us from here, yeah? Talk about the Deborah girls and our time there.
So after our time in Muldamanoa, we travelled back up the Timișoara, which was quite a long drive for us, especially after a full day of work with the Muldamanoa kids. And we ended up travelling straight up to the Deborah House, which was a surprise for quite a few of us because it wasn't part of our itinerary. And the Reverend Park had sprung it upon us that we were going to go meet them and sing for them. So we ended up not getting dinner that night until after 10, close to 11 o'clock. So it was a quick run into McDonald's after all that. So it was quite the drive up. And very warm, so the AC played a big part in all of that. So we got to the Deborah House and sung choruses with them. So we were going to sing choruses with them on the Sunday in the church in Timișoara, and we ended up spending more time there than we thought, because the Reverend Park doesn't really stick to the timing as well as he would hope to, but this is the Sunday morning. This is everyone out with the Balmoney group. And this is us all up at the front with the Deborah girls singing on the Sunday morning. And we went and had lunch with them at the hotel afterwards. And then they went back to the Deborah House, and we had some time to relax then before the evening service, where we'd done the same thing and sang with them. And some of the ones from the group gave their testimony during the meetings. And then Monday, we travelled to the Deborah House in the morning, and we played games with them when we arrived, because any later on in the day, it'd be too warm. So you'd be arriving at 10 o'clock and playing games until 12 before it got to the maximum heat in the day. and it ended up too warm, and then we would have brought them inside and done crafts, and made 15s with them. And we also then did our VBS with them, and we would have sang choruses with them. And with the Deborah girls, it's a lot more easy to speak to them because some of them can speak English. So normally within a group, a friendship group with them, they can translate one of them. So you're able to understand what they're saying. And singing the choruses, they also know them a lot better than what the Roma children would. So they'd be able to sing them with you. And we brought lunch from Lidl with them, which is quite the common shop you tend to in Romania. And it was always the same lunches, yogurt drink, croissants and crisps. But by the end of the trip, you started getting a bit sick of that. So after the afternoon, we took them to one of the malls and took them for dinner. And after the dinner, we went bowling with them, as you can see in the middle photo. And they had fun with that. And some of them were better at bowling than some of us. But that's not to be talked about too much. And some of the girls were rubbing it in that they beat you. They're really proud of themselves. And then we split off and we went back to the hotel, and they went back to the two Deborah houses. And then we went back on the Tuesday to do the same in the morning. But the Reverend Park took a group of the ones from Balmoney and two Deborah house girls to go to Rekash, and they went around some of the homes there, and they pretty much done the same thing what we would have done in Modo and Noah, and they went around with food and speaking to them about the Lord, while the rest of us then went back to the Deborah house and played games with them and done crafts. And then the Reverend Park arrived back after lunchtime, and we done our meeting with them. And in the middle photo, you can see Eliza and one of the house parents' daughters, Ruby, singing Jesus Loves Me. So, and in English as well, the two of them. So they volunteered to do that for everyone. And it really helped everyone that these two small children are able to sing these words and allow the rest of us to feel the blessing from that. And then in the afternoon, we then went to the water park in Timișoara, and it just recently reopened after being refurbished. And originally, the plan was just to take the girls to the pool at the hotel, but on the Sunday night, Alci, one of the locals that go to the church in Timișoara, had suggested that we go to this water park, and she suggested it to some of the boys, and the boys were obviously jumping on that opportunity to go, but no one wanted to say the Mr. Park, because it was not what was supposed to be happening, and we ended up getting Alci to say to him, and he rang the house parents and they accepted to go. So we took them to the water park, and the Reverend Park ended up leaving early to fly to Bucharest to meet the rest of the group that we'd be meeting. So he had left, and we spent the time with the girls at the water park. And then when we'd finished at the water park, it was a hard goodbye, because the connection that they would have built with us, they found it hard to let go that we were leaving. And we've probably spent longer than what we would have thought we would have had to say goodbye. and it lasted a good while, and there was a lot of tears. The Wednesday then, it was an early morning, and some of us thought it might have been a good idea to try and do an all-nighter. And you fell asleep and your dad was running into the room when you're supposed to be leaving and waking you up because everyone else was waiting downstairs for you. But we were flying to Bucharest then from Timișoara, and from Bucharest we drove to Buzău, to the region of Buzău, and the Reverend Park took a group out in February to that area. And they felt like it was an area that could be worked on, and I had very good pastors from the churches up there, and the churches were, Baptist churches were very different to the ones we had been to in Moldovanoa and Timișoara. They were a lot more they were more like the gypsy houses, but a wee bit better built. They had halls, but they weren't very large, and they had large outside areas for the kids to play. But we took the trip up to Buzău, and it was probably the, I think it was the warmest day, and the buses we ended up getting there didn't have the best of AC, so it was quite difficult for some of us in the buses. But we ended up arriving there, and Rachel and I take over for the rest of the part in Buzău.
I found the bus journey to Buzău quite difficult, as my bus actually didn't have any AC at all, so it was very warm and very sweaty. So Thursday we had the opportunity to visit two local churches in Kuta and Badila, and we conducted both VBSs in the churches with the children. And then the ladies in Kuta cooked us lunch, and you can see that there. So it was chicken, pork, pickles and cheesy potatoes. And it was actually quite nice, it was good. And then the later in Badila, the ladies cooked us dinner. There's the soup there. I had meatballs in it, and it was, they're a funny colour, but we ate them nonetheless. These new people had nothing, but they had such joy in serving us and serving the Lord by cooking for the poor in their communities and for cooking for us. And you can see how happy they were when we give them a round of applause for their cooking. So on our final VBS day, we drove up into the mountains, and it was a very slow and tedious journey as the roads were poor and rough. They'd been working on the roads there for 10 years. You didn't think that they had been. They were very bad. It took what seemed forever, and we thought we were never getting there, especially when Dad's brakes went in the van. We all thought we were going to die. But all of a sudden the trees cleared, and we arrived into a beautiful clearing. And you can kind of see there's a big wooden shack. And all the kids were sitting waiting for us. The pastors would drive here each Saturday to conduct Bible lessons with the children, and it thrilled us when the children were reciting the scripture from memory in their own language and singing choruses. And you'll see that later in the video. On our travel day home, we squeezed in a visit to the church at Badila, and we had an opportunity to sing to the local congregation and share our thoughts of our time in Romania. It was really special to share our memories of the mission trip with the people. They cooked us lunch, which is a Romanian dish called somali. These are cabbage rolls with pork and spices. And you can see Luke really enjoyed them. The ladies had cooked 1,500 of them for us. And then there's a farewell to our friends. And this was hard again. We saw Florentina, and it was really hard leaving her. And then we travelled back to Bucharest for a flight home. And then this. So some of the members joined us for the last few days. So this is the full team together with some of our friends in the church. I'll leave Dad the rest.
Thank you.
have to say, it's amazing, and I'm sure Leah and Nathaniel all who've been on trips this year, how quickly you form new friendships when you're on these trips and you're spending time with folks every day. And it was very difficult to leave some of the Roma girls. It was difficult to leave our interpreters because you create such a bond, particularly with the interpreters, because you're so reliant on them for everything. And it's incredible. We had one, and I'm trying to remember the young girl's name, the gypsy girl who learnt English in 3 months.
Adela.
What was her name again, Deborah? Oh. Adela. That's, yeah.
And she's in the yellow
trousers. That's her there, yes. And they visited her home.
Alina.
This is her here. And absolutely wonderful girl. 3 months, and she is looking to learn, if I remember rightly, Spanish and Korean. But Stephen Laverty, where's Stephen at the back there? Stephen's at the very back. Stephen's a paramedic, so is like Richard's is, and Stephen's got as broad a Ballymoney accent as you'll ever hear. And he thought, she said, she was learning Spanish at Korean. He thought it was at the university up in Hills there, so he did. It was very special. And you've seen there in some of the pictures, we did colouring in with them at all the vocational Bible schools, and it was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And we want them to know that, yes, the Lord will provide for their physical needs, but the Lord has provided for their spiritual needs, and that they had all that they would need in Christ. Just yesterday, the Reverend Park sent us a message in the WhatsApp group. This lady here is Florica, if I got that pronunciation right. Florica. Florica lived in this second colony. You may remember that back at the start there was a building that had collapsed in the original colony, and they were part of the family that moved out here. As I say, the living conditions were truly horrendous. While the building looks like it's in better structure, it's completely exposed. It's up on a hill as well, away from the other place, a wee bit more sheltered on a flat near the river. It was terrible conditions. This is Roxana. No, that's not Roxana. Another girl. Her daughter Roxana would come in the most beautiful dress. I don't know how or where they cleaned and did the dress, but she wore the most beautiful clothes every day to the meetings. Definitely their Sunday best. They genuinely put them out in, you know, what we had described as their Sunday best at the time. But Marina, 10-year-old, had to be rushed to the hospital with pneumonia just this week. And Pastor Claudio, that we've mentioned a couple of times, he took them on the 2.5-hour journey up to Timișoara to the hospital, because that was the only place she could get treatment. But on the way there, he had the joy of leading Florica to the Lord.
Amen.
So he had. And it was wonderful to hear that news just a few weeks afterwards. And, you know, it's nothing of ourselves. It's all through Christ and through him, and the work is his, and the joy is in the Lord that we've seen a soul saved. And truly we can say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided there. And we pray that young Marina will come through that situation, because they don't have any access to anything. And just to finish, that was what we wanted to say. We were given a text by the Reverend Park that night in that meeting, so we're in that prayer meeting before we went, the deputation, and it was Genesis 12:2, and it was the Lord God's words to Abraham. And while the verse, as he said, was taken out of context in many ways, and he was just picking two elements of it, it was Genesis 12:2, and I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. And he said, we want to take that as the promise for the time that we're out in Romania, and truly, we knew that blessing over the 10 days that we were there. James reminds us in, I think it's the second chapter, faith without works is dead. And while we know of a certainty that we're not saved through works, we know that once we're saved, we should bear fruit and show our faith through our works. And just as a fruit tree doesn't bear fruit for its own benefit, we should bring forth fruit and share that fruit with others. And when we're on the trip, we came across those that have been truly rejected by society. These families are not wanted. The efforts we had to make, sometimes particularly Reverend Park had to make, to find places for them to eat, or to find places to eat with them, or find places for them to go and enjoy things, was unreal. People didn't want them near them. You know, they would tell us the rich people have booked the pool today. you can't have this place, even to the extent where churches in the past had rejected them and didn't want them. And again, James in his epistle reminds us of that, and we're not to set those in goodly apparel above those who don't have. The girls in the Deborah House have been abused, they've been neglected, they have been unwanted, and while we get to see and spend time with them to do the nice things, and Luke talked about that, and it was great to be able to spend the time with that, their house parents and the psychiatrists and the psychotherapists that work with them every day have to deal with a lot of girls who have been through stuff that is unimaginable in many ways, and certainly this few stories we had, I don't want to repeat, they're just not the sort of things you want to have to think about for young girls of early teenage years to have come through that already in life. We spent time on the Sundays, we said, in Timișoara. Deborah and I were fortunate to sit beside Michaela, Pastor Groza's, Eugene Groza's wife, and that was certainly special to get time spent there talking to Michaela. And certainly, I hadn't put this in the prayer request, it would be a prayer to remember the church and the churches there. A lot of those that led the churches through the communist Ceausescu era are dying, and they're dying young in comparative age. As Michaela said, we don't know what they went through in prison. We don't know when they were lifted off the street by the secret police, what the secret police did to them. But we know we're losing them, and losing them far too quickly. And they're missing those leaders in the church now. And that's leaving gaps and leaving holes. And even while the Deborah House is a wonderful place, you can see the gap left by Pastor Groza's departure and the spiritual leadership he gave that work in particular. So as we sought to show our Christian love in practical ways, we also, and first and foremost, wanted to share the gospel with them. Whether it was praying or sitting with those boys and girls that we made contact with, whether it was with the families and the practical things we were able to do with them and bring that short word to them. We were always doing this and we were in Ballymoney on Sunday, and our brother Chris Killen was preaching there, and he preached in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we can become very thankful for the temporal blessings that we have, but when you hear about what the church has been through and the challenges the churches have had, we're thankful for the spiritual blessings we have here at home to be able to have meetings. As we were thinking just how to wrap this up, and this isn't just of ourselves, but we think of Leah and Nathaniel and others, and we think of Robert and Sarah and the workers last week. D.L. Moody, when he was writing about Mary of Bethany and the work she did, he just said, you know, is it our epitaph that it'll be on every Christian's gravestone, she or he hath done what she could or he could? And Rachel, when she was speaking in Timișoara, brought this verse to us whenever she was asked to bring a word about what we were doing, was in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We can do that here, we can do that on Saturday at the barbecue, we can do that as the works start up amongst the seniors and the meeting. There are various aspects of the work, there's plenty that we can do there for the Lord. We'll just leave you with these few prayer points. We mentioned Farika that just got saved there, but remember the Roma communities, that they have nothing. They are in deep difficulty. Remember Pastor Claudio and his family in particular, as they would labour very specifically amongst them. The Bethany Baptist Church in Timișoara, they give so much to all the different groups that come out over the summer from Northern Ireland. We were only one of several groups that they'd hosted over the summer, and that their kindness to us, and they provide so much in terms of the interpretation capabilities to us. Alci and Graziella and Lucci and their daughter as well, and Hannah Joy, the Reverend Pastor Groza's granddaughter, was also able to, and she, if I remember, she's only 13 and she was speaking fluent English. It was powerful, so it was. Remember the Deborah House girls, as soon as they hit 18 they move into a different programme and they start to go out into the world and try to be reintegrated, and it's very difficult, but even the time that they're in the home. The work in Bazo and the five churches and their pastors there, Pastor Emmanuel and his wife Cassie and his sister Johanna, were very good to us and very kind to us in the work. And they've obviously put a lot of effort in. You can see that amongst the boys and girls in particular, the work. Remember Pastor Beppe, as he leads the work there as the senior pastor in the region. He started the work there about 15 to 18 years ago by himself, built the two churches that we were at by himself, physically built them. He is not a man that I would want to get on the wrong side of physically. If you're in a fight, he's the man you want with you, so he is. He doesn't speak an awful lot of English, but the English he spoke was you know, powerful. He knew just the right thing to say, so he did. And very good in guidance and instruction to us, so he was. And a man clearly in tune with the Lord and the work there. They've built a couple of polytunnels for them to grow some of their own fruit and vegetables. They have a barn now, and they have a couple of chicken runs. They were very apologetic to the Reverend Park that there wasn't the same amount of chickens as there was there in February when he was last out. That was because they'd had to eat some of the chickens. That, you know, we all have to do that now and again, as we said to them. So they were maybe getting a few less eggs than they previously got, so they had. Those are the different aspects of the work that we'd ask you to pray for. Pray for Luke. Luke's going back again with the Ballymoney Church again in October. They're going to particularly spend a bit more time with Doro, who does the work in the prisons there. And Doro received the Reverend Greenfield's old accordion, and he's using that in the prison work and amongst the boys and girls there in that work in Rekesh, which is not too far. From that, so Luke's going back out. They're just spending their time, particularly around Timisoara, but spend some more time with the Deborah girls. And they're taking, I think it's 200 to 250 shoeboxes out as gifts coming up to Christmas time to give to them as well. So just before we hand back to the Reverend Martin, if I can get this to work now, just a wee quick video just to give you just a quick flavour of the whole thing in video form before we hand over.
And the Bible speaks about those.
Well, could I just say a very word appreciation to Mark and the family for coming and for taking us through the presentation. No doubt it was a difficult journey they made and maybe weren't prepared for something that they were looking at. You saw it on the screens, but we're thankful to the Lord that the Ballymoney Church have had a tremendous link with the work in Romania, as well as the Reverend Stanley Barnes, who many, many years ago befriended Eugene Grosse and the work in Timisoara, and also the Deborah House project. I remember many years ago in Lisburn Church we supported that work, and money was raised, sent out, and it was just good to see the work going on, and we certainly do appreciate them coming to report on that mission trip. It wasn't an easy task. I know there was a wee bit of relaxation and there was some, but for those children I'm sure you appreciate that was something that they never had before. Some of them were out on a boat for the first time. I'm not sure if it's the first time they ate pizza and stuff like that, but certainly they enjoyed the crisps and many other things. I liked everything, near enough everything, except those pickles that were on the plate. So I think I could handle everything else apart from that. But it certainly was an adventure. And to have your family present with you and to have our young people go away in the summer, along with some under our mission board as well, it's a great encouragement, and we're thankful to the Lord. And how blessed we are in this country whenever you see something of what people live in and what they have to look at and endure whenever the weather changes, and then to think of the poverty, and to think they're just in the middle of that heat, a young girl getting pneumonia. No doubt at night it cools down and then there is no cover and there's scant clothing and so on, and the poverty is there. But we're glad that the gospel was brought to them, and we're thankful that that lady has come through for the Lord, and who knows what good will come out of that, and who knows what the Lord can do through one convert going back to her own people and telling them what great things the Lord has done for her. And we do need to pray for the Baptist churches there. We did hear about the pastors are dying and passing away very young, and there's very few to take their place. And they're carrying this work on among these communities and in these places. So please keep that in your prayers. Are we offline yet, Paul? No? You know, so we bid farewell to those that are still tuning in online. Thank you for listening. We trust that it has been informative and you'll be able to pray with us. We're going to have our season of prayer just now. We'll get down to our little time of prayer. We could remember, of course,